We usually hear messages about how we are to act and react, and a lot of times it's directed to the middle age, younger people, how they should conduct with coworkers when they're going to work or classmates at school, neighbors and family. And then a few weeks ago we heard from Mr. Joel Meeker. He directed it right at the teenagers, at the young people. And it was not long after that message, my wife heard somebody say, why can't we hear something to the older ones, the older members of the congregation? We're not going to school. Some are not working anymore, so you don't have to worry about coworkers and all that. So, you know, the older members in the congregation, been there, done that. Been at work, had to deal with college classes or high school classes, and they're not physically able to maybe do all the things they once did, to work, not playing softball or basketball anymore. So, you know, some of these things don't really apply in the same way. So I want to present to you scriptures that are directed to the hoary head. I think everybody understands that. To the members that have had decades, and I mean many decades, of service in the church. And as usual, when we hear something directed to the young people, you all can listen to it. Well, young people, you can listen to this too. I think you might hear something interesting. Maybe something to laugh at once in a while. If you would, turn to Psalm 71. This is the prayer of David. Psalm 71, verse 9. And it's pointed right at the hoary head, if you will. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. We can really grab a hold of that, can't we? You know, our strength is not like what it once was. Now, we'll drop down to verse 17. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I have declared your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. And there are a lot of the elderly here, myself included, came into the church when we were teenagers. I was 17, 18. My wife was 15 or so. Not born into the fellowship of the church. A lot of the younger people, a little different. Parents were already in the church when they were born. So this is speaking to the hoary head, if you will, again. Do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. And we are demonstrating that, declaring our dedication, our fortitude, the due diligence to the younger generation, to those that are in the lap or on the floor. They see our example. You know, we've all had thoughts and prayers, you know, we don't want to be forsaken, but how many times are people forcibly retired because they're too old? And then when you get fired, you can't get a job because you may be 50, 55. We're looking for somebody a little more younger, a little more enthusiasm. I can have enthusiasm. Why can't I get that job? You're too old. So you feel like you're being forsaken. People are, go away. Just go away. No. God will not say, go away. God will continue to be there to help you. In our teaching, it can be an example to those younger of our steadfastness and our consistency and faithfulness to God and to His truth. Our example can speak volumes to those around us of our dedication. Now let's turn to Psalms 37, another psalm of David. Psalm 37, we'll drop down to verse 25. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And we can be thankful that God does not forsake us, and he will not forsake us. And we have seen continually through our lives, God is there. Doors open, blessings come, and God will not neglect us or forsake us. Even though sometimes it's a little bit difficult, can be some trials and tests, God is there. And this statement about the seed of the righteous not begging for bread, I have two ideas about that myself. The righteous person is training their children, teaching their children. This is what you do. This is how you live, how to conduct yourself, how we can relate and interact with other people. And then when we live by every word of God, there are blessings that will come because we do those things. And then there's another aspect that I've thought about with the benefit to the children of the righteous is in the way a person lives and showing love and respect to others, and that love and respect will return. If you would, I'd like to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and try and embellish that thought a little bit. Ecclesiastes 11, and we'll start in verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. The righteous, the really converted people, will help as opportunity provides itself. You help somebody in need. You know, especially among the brethren, we're helping pack, unpack, move. Somebody needs some yard work, got a tree down in their yard. People jump in and help. We'll drop down to verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Ah, oh, it's too hot. Can't go to work. Can't go plow that back 40. It's going to rain. I see those clouds, and I just can't go do anything. Whereas the righteous, due diligent individual, you'll do what you need to do as the opportunity comes up. You'll get out there and you'll help somebody in need instead of, they live so far away, I just can't go over there and help them. That tree is so big and I just can't handle it. It's pouring down rain and it's on their roof. You're out there and you're raring to go. You're going to help. You're going to support, no matter what the weather is. And moving down to verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. You know, the lifestyle of the righteous is outgoing, giving, sharing, supporting, helping others. And then their children and grandchildren will reap some of those benefits. That reminds me of an incident that happened in our life. At one time, at the college, I was spending time after work helping an individual dig a leach line, helping with a sewer line. And got it all down, you know, months, maybe a year or two later. My wife was driving down the Highway 80. All once she had a flat tire. She pulled off the side of the road and, you know, ladies, I need to find somebody to help. So this individual came out of this trailer and changed her tire. When she got home, I found out that was where I helped put the sewer line in. How does that happen? Blessings come back. When you help somebody, God will make sure you're repaid over and abundant. If you would, we'll turn to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray head. How often do we see, you know, if you remember back to your teenage years, you're Mr. Macho. You're this pretty girl. Show off them six packs and, you know, and everything. Just trying to show off to the ladies, right? Young men? You've got the strength, you've got agility, you've got mobility, you got skills and speed. So, you know, you glory in your strength. No problem with that. But the beauty of an old man is his gray head. A lot of times the ladies will say, boy, that little gray makes him look distinguished. Makes him look good. I will have to say, though, sometimes the ladies don't like the gray hair as much. Although some, you do look good in your gray hair, I will say. We'll stop there. But the beauty of an old man is the gray head. I'm just reading what it says. Okay, we'll move on to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 31. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory, if it is found in the way of righteousness. And this is where King James Version says the hoary head. The hoary head is a crown of glory. So that is your glory, to have the gray head. Now, Adam Clark has a little commentary on this. He says, the hoary head is a crown of glory. The latter part of the verse is very well added, which states, if it is found in the way of righteousness. For many a sinner has a hoary head. The crown of glory is only good if you're righteous, if you're found in the way of righteousness. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, we'll look at verse 32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. Now, we don't have to just jump up every time we see, I don't want to pick on anybody, but we'll say, I were to walk in the door. I got a little gray hair. I'm older. Young men, you don't have to stand up and bow and all that genuflect of whatever. But there is this respect that God is looking for the older Christian, if you will, who has spent time, decades in the church. I will refer to Genesis 48, verse 12, and it says, so Joseph brought them from his beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to earth. And this was before his father, Jacob. You know, he bowed down and gave respect to his father, who was, well, couldn't see well, and he's pretty old, pretty old. And then the commentary, which comes from Adam Clark's commentary on Genesis 48, says, Joseph, in thus reverencing his father, only followed the customs of the Egyptians among whom he lived, who, according to Herodotus, and then it gives the name of the book, I'll just spell it, E-U-T-E-R-P-E, comma C, dot 80. Hopefully you can find where I'm talking about. Were particularly remarkable for the reverence they paid to old age. Quote, this is quoting Herodotus, for if a young person met his senior, he instantly turns aside to make way for him. If an aged person enter an apartment, the young always rise from their seats. Unquote. This is from Herodotus, what the Egyptians did. And then a Mr. Savory observes that the reverence mentioned by Herodotus is yet paid to old age on every occasion in Egypt. So they continue to do that. Now, in Mohammedan countries, the children sit, I can't see our children doing this, sit as if dumb in the presence of their parents, never attempting to speak unless spoken to. Among the ancient Romans, it was considered a crime worthy of death not to rise up in the presence of an old person. An acting contrary part was deemed an awful mark of a deep degeneracy of the times. And then there's a satirist, I should say, has a poem. The individual was Dryden, and had not men the hoary heads revered, or boys paid reverence when a man appeared, both must have died. We're not going to go that far. My children never sat as dumb at the dinner table. We liked a little conversation and bantering. I'm sure everybody does. But there's still the respect that is mentioned here that may go to the extreme, but the elderly should be respected because they have done an awful lot in the service of the church. And I will mention that usually when we have arrived for services, there have been two young men at the door, opening it up, saying, "Happy Sabbath." And I appreciate that. And I hope they continue. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. I will have to interject that they are a crown of old, elderly women, grandchildren. And I don't have to go any further. Anybody's got grandkids knows what it's about. They love your grandkids. You get to spoil them. Don't worry about it. But it is great. And I will interject that I'm sorry if you do not have grandchildren. I do feel sorry about that because it is a wonderful treat. Wonderful. If we move now to Psalms 92. Psalms 92. We'll start with verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that are be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, and they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The older Christian is full of the fruit of the Spirit. And their fruit is ripe, succulent, and we should enjoy that. Their love, their joy, their enthusiasm for life. And I would encourage the young to get to know the elder members, to fellowship with them and to see that fruit, to understand it, to comprehend that there is so much that they have to share. If you would, we'll now turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll start with verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I will say this to the young people. There is a great cloud of witnesses in the older Christians. They are witnesses to dedication, to service, to a way of life that can reap many, many blessings. The older Christians among us have done these things that have been presented from the pulpit. They have reared their children. They have endured work and family problems because of the Sabbath, the holy days. As I said, they have done that, been there, done that. They have loved their spouse, following all the principles that are given from the pulpit. You know, look at their fruit and savor and relish it. And I will say to the older Christian, continue to be a witness of the truth. Continue to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Let your light shine brightly. So to all of us, I will continue with this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. Just because we're old doesn't mean we don't have problems. We have a sin that may easily beset us. We have to deal with enticements still come around. Continuing on, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest you be worried and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So once again, to the older Christian, continue to be a blessing to the congregation. Let your fruit continue to grow and mature. And be among the cloud of witnesses for the truth. And to the young Christian, look to the cloud of witnesses, enjoy their fruit, and see how marvelous it is. And know that you will be an older Christian sooner than you think.